Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions. With me, Yudeli Wickham-Ashby. And my very special guest today is Lander Bruno from the Commonwealth of Dominica. We will be learning about him, his battle with kidney failure, and still being extremely active as a farmer. Welcome to Visions, Lander.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's my pleasure being interviewed by such a powerful program. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So, Lander, let's start a little and learn about you. Tell us a little about yourself.
Okay, my name is Lander Bruno, as you stated. I'm from Dominica. I was born of parents with 8 of us. I have 5 sisters and 3 brothers. Currently, I'm a dialysis patient since 2000. Have to be in dialysis 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm married. I have a beautiful wife and a little girl. Before my marriage, I had 1 son. He's not living with me. I think that is part of who I am.
Great.
As you go along, we'll do it.
Yes. So tell us, what was it like growing up in Dominica as a young boy, then into a young man?
Well, it was a lot of fun, a lot of good times with friends and family growing up. We eat a lot of local food. We do a lot of river bathing and catching crayfish. And we do a lot of stuff as young people. We had a lot of fun as young people growing up, young boys.
And I'm sure you got into some mischief as well.
Not really. not much of that.
Not much.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was always on the positive side of life when it comes to growing up and things like that. Yeah.
Okay. So share with us how you have become a dialysis patient. How did you discover that you had kidney issues?
Okay, so I was living a normal, healthy life as a young man at the age of 25. I was married, my first marriage, at the age of 25. And I was driving for a company in Portsmouth, which is a hardware company, M&R. And one day, while in work, I start to feel my head is reeling me. Like every time I bend my head, I feel my head is reeling me. So I took the chalk and went up to the hospital, which was far away from us. And I tell them I'm not feeling well. They took my pressure. And after they took my pressure, they tell me that I need to go and rest because my pressure was 200 and something over 1 something. The doctor put me on sick leave for 2 weeks and tell me to continue to check on my pressure. My pressure was still remaining high after the 2 weeks. So I went back to him and I tell him I have to do a thing to see what that caused my pressure to go high because I was newly married, just built my home. So I don't know what I was stressing me like that. And I working. He tell me that he going to do some blood tests. He sent me to the main hospital in Roseau, Princess Margaret at the time, to do some blood tests. And then in the blood test, they tell me 95% of my both kidney gone. And at the time, we could only do our catheter and fistula, which is to start dialysis in Guadeloupe. So we couldn't do anything like that in Dominica. So the doctor asked me to travel to go and get prepared for dialysis. I never knew anything about dialysis. When the doctor tell me that I have to be on dialysis, I was very shocked. I was afraid. I thought, well, that was the end of my life. I was panicking until I reached in Guadeloupe. And then they started to educate me and tell me that I can live a productive life long as I take care of myself properly.
Okay.
So that is, yes.
Did it impact your marriage, your new diagnosis of
the
having
first
kidney failure?
Yes, my first wife, she could not comprehend what was going on because at the beginning of my medical condition, I could have not do much, so I could not provide as much funds to sustain the family as normal as what I would do even I was not sick. So then I think that maybe and other things maybe trigger her to walk away from the marriage. So she walked away from the marriage and left me on my own. And I was on my own for approximately 9 years, struggling it out, praying and asking God to send me somebody, send me a company, send me somebody that really makes sense in my life, until God blessed me with that very beautiful, loving wife and give me back my whole life that I have right now.
Okay, I like the sound of that. Right. Okay, so you learned then that your kidneys were severely damaged and
Yes.
you had to go into a new phase of life
Yes.
using dialysis machine and you were educated. How would you say then you turn your life around? Because I know that you are a farmer and
Yes.
that means that you have to be, physically active to do the type of farming you're doing. So explain all of this to us.
Okay, well, being a dialysis patient can be very troublesome. The thing is that we've been a dialysis patient. Okay, you can't eat everything, but you should not eat everything and drink everything. Your diet is the most important thing that will tell you how well you do as a dialysis patient and how long you live as a dialysis patient, your diet. Okay, so I get to understand that. I was working at Rice University for 9 years in Portsmouth and in Dominica. And with the doctors and them I was working with, I learned a lot from them what to do and how to take care of myself at that time. So,
Right.
anytime you reach in the stage of a dialysis patient, your life changes. So, you have to change with it. If you don't make up your mind to change with it, it will bring you down. Okay? It will take you under. You have to hold it and tell it, I'm in charge. I take charge now. So, you have to watch what you eat, how much you eat, and how much you drink. I know a lot of dialysis patients. Like today, I was in dialysis and I see a dialysis patient come with cocoa tea. Since I'm on dialysis for the past 24 years, I never ever drink cocoa tea. Okay? Cocoa tea with milk in it. Cocoa tea is high in potassium. And the potassium is what that narrow your artery and cause you to get breathless and cause you to feel very sick, weak. You understand? As long as you have a lot of potassium in your blood, potassium and phosphorus in your blood, it making you feel very weak. And phosphorus come from soft drinks, milk, and other different food that I cannot really remember right now. Your potassium come from bananas and all root crops and all fruit juice have a lot of potassium. That don't mean you have to abstain from all, but you have to watch the amount you take there.
Yes, and the portions.
I really want to say it in a local parlor, local language where everybody will understand what I say. So I don't want to use too much big word here. Okay? So you have to really watch what you eat, okay? And make sure you take your medication on time. So what you have to do as a dialysis patient is if the doctor give you like my medication is alpha calcidol, folic acid, calcium carbonate, B complex, and some other medications that I will tell you as we go
You
along.
don't have to tell me all of
Okay.
them, not at
So what
all.
I'm saying is you take your medication on time, okay? Exercise is part of your medication too, also. So as a dialysis patient, you need to exercise. Okay, you need to keep fit, sweat, because in the machine taking out the excess fluid and the excess toxin from your blood. So the rest left to you to see what amount you can remove from sweat. Okay? So that is basically what I do to really keep fit and keep healthy.
Right. So tell us about your farming because you grow plantains and figs and other crops. Tell us about it, how many acres, and how do you manage your farming?
Well, I haven't got acres. I have like a house lot and I have like about almost a quarter acre of something.
Quarter acre. Okay,
Yes.
cool.
I was always a farmer before I fell sick. I was to plant 5.5 acres of bananas. So I was one of the biggest farmer in my community. So I used to sell like a lot of bananas. So I was a farmer. I was a bus driver a couple of years ago, driving bus from Portsmouth to Roseau. And then when I decided I stopped drive bus, I decided to go back in my backyard and do my gardening. So I plant in like all today, I sell a lot of tomatoes. I plant in okra. I plant in plantain and fig and a lot of different quick crop things that will make fast. Okay. So that's what I do. I do most of the work by myself.
So people would be wondering how you are on dialysis and yet still able to do your farming.
As I say, is your diet. Your diet. Because if you're there and you're drinking a lot of fluid, and because of your kidneys not functioning, for I'm not passing urine for the past I would say about 17 years now. I'm not passing no urine. So if I'm not passing any urine and I'm drinking a lot of fluid, then the fluid will stay on my lungs and make me breathless. Okay?
Okay.
And then the body will start to retain the fluid. So then there is where I'm getting swelling in my joints and in my lower limbs and different places. I'll be getting
Okay.
swelling because I'm drinking too much fluid. So what I do,
Right.
I manage, and what I take, I manage what I do. Okay? And I believe that is the way dialysis patients should go.
Well,
Manage and do eat food. As I always say, I don't eat on the road. I don't eat in restaurants. So I wouldn't just go and buy a plate of food in the restaurants and eat it. The reason
okay.
why is because our food is supposed to be prepared differently than yours that have your two both kidneys. Okay?
Right.
Like if I have to eat plantain and fig and dashing, then when you boil in the plantain and so, you will see like a white frothy water on top of it. Okay? That water is potassium and starch. Starchy sugar. Potassium is very dangerous for dialysis patient. So what I do, I fry with that first water, I wash it out and I put it back to boil. And when it boil, I don't let the water soak in the back in it. I fry with the water and then I can eat my food. Even
Okay.
like rice and those things that full of starch and potassium also. I wash my rice like maybe five times to take out most of the starch and so in it. Okay? And
No,
I don't eat
land.
no red beans and pink beans and those bungee beans and beans and bees. I do eat those things because of the potassium
Okay.
left in. Yes.
Got you covered. So, Lander, you have been on dialysis for the past 24 years. Have you considered maybe a kidney transplant, and have you and your wife discussed that possibility?
Well, we started the process last year where we do all the tests. We are compatible. We do all the tests. We went to Antigua. And we did all our tests that we could not do in Antigua. So we do all the tests going through the kidney transplant, okay? And my wife is compatible. She can give me one of her kidneys. And we started the fundraising, but we haven't raised all the funds. And then Antigua had a problem in the theater. We were supposed to do the surgery last year, August. But because of the other flooding, so then we could not do the surgery at that time. And we still never had all the funds ready. We still were still in the process of raising funds at the time. Okay?
Okay.
So that is where we are at right now.
Right. Okay, so this meant that both you and your wife would have had several conversations about the challenges and the results of doing a kidney transplant. How did you feel about that, her donating a
Well,
kidney?
in the beginning, I wasn't interested in it because I've been on dialysis for so long, I'm not doing very bad. I'm doing very well as a dialysis patient. I see a lot of patients come and go, so I'm doing very well. But from the time she met me, she told me that she wanted to give me one of her kidneys. And she keep pulling it in my head. So it was her thing that I approached her and asked her to give me one of her kidneys. She make her decision to go through it, and I never really wanted it. But she pushed me for us to start to do what we have to do for me to get a kidney because she really loved me and she wanted to see our child grow together with us and this and thing like that. But the funds not coming in like how we wanted it to come in. So that is the reason why that I still had to go on dialysis.
So is
Yeah.
there like a bank account where persons can donate to you?
Yes, we have a bank account in the National Bank in Dominica. So that is where we are today. And she's really a committed person to giving me. I never see anybody like that in my life as yet. The way she
Okay.
really stand up and decided. Because even when we went to Antigua to do some tests, I was afraid when they give us the tests and then we have to do. And she wanted to do it. It's a really touching experience for me to see how much. Because people doesn't really give people kidneys like that anymore, or just make up their mind to donate a kidney to somebody like that.
Right. So tell us about your fundraising efforts.
Well, we do a GoFundMe. We had already drawn the money in the bank. The government of Dominica, we're supposed to get 144,000 EC and more, but we raise like 40 something thousand, what we collect is already. And then the government of Dominica had make a commitment to give us 97,000, but they say they want to pay it straight to the hospital. We are going to do the surgery.
Right. So is there like an account number or GoFundMe?
I don't know if the GoFundMe, because we had already drawn down the money for the GoFundMe. The account number is 1-800-484-391.
Okay, can you repeat it?
1-800-84391. The mobile number is 1-767-225-1825.
And this is with your Dominica National Bank?
Yes, it's the Dominica National Bank. And the mobile ID is Lander B.
Okay. Right. I hear your lovely wife's voice in the background. Would you want to join us?
Come and see something.
Welcome to Visions, Delicia. Share with us how you met Lander and what prompted you to want to give a kidney.
I met him. I was sort of stranded on my way home from work. It was a Sunday, right? So he gave me a ride. The first time I met him, I wasn't really interested. I didn't really study him because he did make a pass, and I was in my mind was, look at that old man trying to make a pass. So I'm to him now, right? But then after that, because he had a bus, so I would always meet him whenever like it was time for me to like go home, because like I always finished late, and most of the time he was the last bus on the bus stop. So a time he told me, if I have a friend like him, I'll never regret something like that. So that was his line. So we started chatting from there. We were friends for a little while, and then after we decided to, you know, check.
Make it official.
Yes.
Nice, nice. That's a beautiful story. So what led you then to think about donating one of your kidneys? Mm-hmm. This is a very selfless act.
Well, even before we got married, I was actually thinking about it. I didn't really tell him as yet, right? So I thought about it first, and I spoke to, you know, like my parents and other people, you know, who I had to speak to before I, you know, like actually tell him that I was going to give it to him. But I want to do it because I actually want to see him live like a little bit longer so that he can see our daughter grow up, you know, and become something. She wants to be a doctor and a pastor when she grows up. So I would love for him to like live long enough to see that, right? And also have like a prosperous life together, because although he's doing really well on dialysis, it's like going to dialysis 3 days a week, right? Like 3 to 4 hour sessions. It can be really tough. And like before, if you had to like pay per session, so like every week, it was like a bit challenging. And then there are times when sometimes one of us might not be working, so it kind of put like a strain, but we always come through, we always made it through. God always find a way to bless us, right? So I would like love one day to wake up and, you know, he will still be next to me, and he wouldn't be like gone, because he leaves like around 6:30 in the morning. So sometimes by the time he goes, I'm either sleeping, or sometimes I'll wake up to make breakfast for him.
Right.
So
okay.
I'd love one of these mornings to wake up and he's still there, like he wouldn't have to go.
Right. Nice, nice. Well, I must say that I'm extremely happy to learn of your story and to see the love and commitment to each other and to living healthy lives. I think sometimes we understate the importance of taking good care of our bodies and really maintaining good health. So I must commend both of you for striving to maintain excellent health in the face of kidney failure. What would you say is one of the most memorable moments that you have had so far with Lander?
Oh, wedding day.
Okay, tell us about that.
All right, so I told him I was not going to cry on my wedding day, but then while we were saying our vows, right, we were like looking at each other and thing, and like the tears just started coming. Like I was so happy. It wasn't tears of sadness or anything, just like tears of joy. I'm finally getting married, I found a good man and settled, and we're happy.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And Lander, what is your most memorable memory to date?
My most well, my little daughter, number one,
uh-huh.
That I have lived long enough to grow her to the age of 5, and being with somebody so special, because my wife is my best friend. So I really, really, really will go with every day when I leave home of the love that I've got from my little family. It's really yeah. amazing. It's applauding.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. Okay. So as we get ready to wrap up the conversation, Landa, what message would you give to people generally about kidney health, about general health?
Well, okay, I will start with kidney. I would like to say that kidney problem or dialysis is not a death sentence. When the doctor diagnose you with kidney problem, don't mean that is the end of your life, so you're going to die, so you don't care what you eat, what you drink. What you do, because some people just say it's one life to live, let me just enjoy my life and die. It's not a death sentence. You can still be productive as a dialysis patient. You will not be able to can live a normal life because you have to go to hospital 3 days a week. But you can be productive. You can do something for yourself. Okay? So I would really like to speak to the dialysis patient, especially in Barbados, because I know a lot of them in Barbados have been to dialysis already. And in Barbados, I would like to tell them, please take care of yourself, watch your diet, what amount of fluid you take, and try to be active as possible. Try to exercise and do what you have to do to really, really, really be productive, that your family can smile when they see you. Yes.
Wonderful. Well, Lander, it has been a pleasure talking with you and learning a bit more about who you are and how you managed your experience with kidney failure, and of course, meeting your lovely wife and seeing the commitment and support that is within your family. So I want to say thank you very much, and I look forward to chatting with you again at another time.
Most welcome. I want to say something before I leave. I'd really like to be a sort of a motivator to dialysis patient. I was talking to Alan Haynes, and I wanted to, like, one day I could come to Barbados and give some motivational speech to the dialysis patient, have a forum where I could talk to the patients, make them see my activities, and talk to them where they could try to at least copy on some of what I do to see how they can make it better.
Well, I would say that one of the important attitudes that each of us need to have in life is that positive mentality.
Yes.
So that we encourage ourselves in terms of moving forward. How do we manage whatever trial, whatever situation that is confronting us? We need to have that positive attitude as we seek to find solutions. So cheers up to you, and I look forward to seeing you in Barbados doing exactly what you want to do.
And what I would like to say too, if anybody wants to talk to me anytime, they could take my number. My number is 276-6716-1767, 276-6716. They could call me and we could have a chat, even in case they want to know what to do, how to take care of themselves, what to eat, what to not to eat. I don't know it all, but with my little experience I have at 24 years on dialysis, I could try to help. Okay?
Wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you so much. And it really has been a pleasure chatting with you. And we'll connect again.
Yes, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
God bless you. Yeah.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby, and my special guest, Lander Bruno from the Commonwealth of Dominica. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. You can email me on visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That is visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And remember, you can listen to this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website. So until next week, I want you to love yourself and love your neighbors as you love yourselves. So until then, ciao!